Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be here with you today as we get into the Word of God a little bit. We're going to be covering, as you see in your bulletin there, is our title. My title of the message is Shall Not Be Ashamed. We will be going to Romans 10, 9 through 11, looking at that real close, our traditional salvation message or salvation verses that we know today. But we'll take a little deeper dive into it and look at this a little bit. But let's start off with our introductory verse I want to go to, John 14. John 14, 26 to 27. We see here what Jesus tells the disciples here in John 14, 26, 27. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Here's Jesus talking to the disciples. Say, hey, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is coming, and he's going to bring to remembrance the Word of God, all those things that I've said unto you. So you got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that is in us after we get saved. And then Jesus says in 27, he's leaving peace with us. Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I wanted to equate the words ashamed with troubled and afraid, you know. That goes a long way to making us ashamed. If we get afraid, we get a fear, you know, and we have a troubled heart, that leads us to being ashamed. And you look at verse 27, a key thing that I see in the very end of there, Jesus says, because I've given you the Holy Spirit, because I've given you the Word of God that he's going to bring to you, he says, let not your heart be troubled. That's our choice. You've got all the tools you need to deal with everything you come across. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. That's our choice. Very key to understand that. Very key to understand that. So, picking up on that, I'm going to go a little more into the introduction here. It says, neither let it be troubled, neither let it be afraid. On this afraid deal, first mention of that in the Bible is, guess where? Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. We know what happened in the story. Let's go over in our minds here what happened in the story, Genesis 3, 10. They took of the tree, Adam and Eve took of the tree. Satan tricked them. They took of the tree, they ate of it. All of a sudden, when they ate of it, what happened? They became knowledgeable. They knew they were naked. They were became scared. They sewed the fig leaves on, and they became afraid of God. So the bottom line, this is the bottom line. That's the first mention of afraid in the Bible. The bottom line is what for us? Why was Adam and Eve afraid? Because they disobeyed the Word of God. What was their word to them? Don't take of that tree. God said, they had one verse, don't take of that tree. Do not take of it. And what did they do? They took of it. They took of that tree and ate it. They disobeyed the Word of God. Therefore, they became afraid. I think there's a very key principle for us to understand as we're going through this message today is that. What's there to be afraid of? If we're disobeying the Word, you got a lot to be afraid of. So that's what leads to fear, and that's what leads to a troubled heart. Next point on the introduction is, okay, we're going to the salvation message, Romans 10, 9 through 11. We're going through that. Next point is, hey, when we accepted the Lord as our Savior, what happened? The Holy Spirit came inside of us. He sealed the day of redemption. We got drafted into God's army. We got drafted into God's army. Now, Bible says, hey, we need to be a good soldier. A lot of places. Be a good soldier and follow him. He tells us in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, about the armor of God. If you're going to put on the armor of God, you're a soldier.
Right.
It's our choice to put it on. Back to that. Our choice to put it on. He's commanded us to put on our armor. We are in God's army. Our choice. If you're in God's army, we should not be ashamed. We should not be afraid. We should not have a troubled heart. Back to John 14 here. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He's given us everything we need. So, as we come to that in the context, as we turn to Romans 10, just look at that and think of that. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not disobey the Word, and we're in God's army. Romans 10, 9 through 11 says, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Two requirements for salvation listed right here. What are they? It's a personal choice. Mouth confession. Only you and your mouth and you can choose to accept the Lord. Mouth confession and that heart belief between you and God. No man can judge your salvation. That's between you and God. But that you chose it and your belief. Two requirements for true biblical salvation as we study in discipleship lesson number one, salvation. Two requirements. Our personal choice to truly to accept him and to truly believe him. So, I was reading through this a while back and I saw this. Like, I knew when time was coming. I was like, hey, this is unbelievable the way I see this. Like, there's a lot more to this when you look at it and look at it in the context of verse 11. Because every time I've read it, most of the time, I just skip right past verse 11. You know, I think of, hey, when you get saved, brand new Christian, the key thing is be able to tell people about it. You want to tell people about it, you know. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I accept the Lord. I'm not ashamed of that. Guess what? That's just the start of not being ashamed if we believe on him. And so we're going to dive into this a lot more in this ashamed side of it. It starts with salvation. Hey, don't be afraid to tell people you're saved. Tell people you love Jesus. But it doesn't come naturally, does it? We all know that, been there. A lot of times it doesn't come naturally. Like, whoa, this is a weird deal. I've changed my life. I don't know if I want to talk about this or not. Salvation. Now, let's look at it in the context, hey, we've been saved. Now, what does this mean to those that have been saved? You might have been saved for years and years. Some of us 30, 40 years. What's that mean today for us in this context of not being ashamed? As we dig into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time we could have to study your words that are very familiar to us, Lord, in true biblical salvation for our time. Lord, we just understand the two requirements, personal choice and true belief, Lord, of you. Help us to understand it more deeply now as we look into this, not being ashamed. Lord, just be with me. Give me the word to say. Get me out of the way and just let me speak your truth and all things in this regard. We just thank you and praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you can see on your bulletin there, it's like, message, shall not be ashamed. And we got four deals, four items there, four lines. Shall not be ashamed of the Savior. Shall not be ashamed of the Scriptures. Shall not be ashamed of service. And not be ashamed of our speech. Four S's there. Keep it in context, the things we talked about earlier in the introduction. What causes us to be afraid? Disobedience to the Word, and we're in God's army. The two requirements, salvation, hey, my choice, my personal decision, and I got to truly believe it. Let's look at that and all four of these aspects as we go through these. Comes down to first point is, hey, I didn't want to be ashamed of the Savior. Says Romans 10:11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Just starts with that, doesn't it? And that's the context we think of, like, when you get saved, hey, I don't want to be ashamed to tell people I just got saved. What about now, after you're saved? Don't want to be ashamed now to tell people you got saved, about your testimony, about your Lord and Savior. We have to make that personal choice and truly believe in our Savior to not be ashamed. Let's turn to Psalms 25. Psalms 25, you see the Old Testament references here. Psalms 25, 1 through 5 says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Because I trust in thee, let me not be ashamed." How do I do that? Show me thy ways. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth. The word of God. Teach me. You want to not be ashamed? You want to make a personal choice and truly believe and not be ashamed of your Savior? There it is. Know that you trust in him, and know, ask for continuous prayer to lead me in thy truth, thy word of God. Let the word lead you. And if you notice, this is a prayer of David. Let me not be ashamed. That should be our prayer. Let me not be ashamed. The question becomes, am I ashamed of the Savior? Hopefully not. Let's look at the next verse. Psalms 25:20, right here close. Psalms 25:20. "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." There it is. The Lord's going to keep our soul and deliver us. The prayer is, let me not be ashamed, because I'm putting my trust in thee. You want to not be ashamed of the Savior? Put your trust in him. Get into the word of God. Be real with it. That personal decision is like, this is real in my life. Let's look at the next one. Psalm 31:1. Psalm 31:1, right here, folks. I'm trying to take it easy today on the references. We're going in order. We're going quick here, so this is cool. Psalm 31:1. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." Once again, do I trust the Lord or not? And a little tidbit I saw on this one is like, previously it said, let me not be ashamed. That implies what? Present tense right now. Let me not be ashamed. This says, let me never be ashamed. Guess what that implies? It implies present and future tense. We don't want to be ashamed ever. And that's what we're going to get into more as we're looking at never be ashamed. That points to our judgment. Let's never be ashamed, because I'm trusting in thee. Right here close again, Psalm 31:17-19 says, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things, proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Trust in the Lord. Not be ashamed. Look what he says in 19. Trust in thee before the sons of men. Uh-oh. I trust in thee before the sons of men. That means your faith, your belief is out in front of men. You're not afraid to live it and speak it. And that's what we'll get into later. Before the sons of men. You're not afraid to live your faith that you've been given. And you've been shown in the Word. Very key to see that. Now, we'll go to our final reference on this point. It might be ashamed of Savior. It's in 2 Timothy 1:7-9. We see what Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That verse is just awesome. We're commanded, shall not be ashamed, right here. You don't have the spirit of fear. You got the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind. You've got it in you. You don't have that fear in you with the Holy Spirit. Be not, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Paul his prisoner. That's a command. We are not to be ashamed of our Savior. We are not to be ashamed of the Apostle Paul and what he did. We need to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In verse 9, why? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He saved us, called us that holy calling, not according to our works. We're going to look into that more down the line here. It's his works, it's his purpose and his grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We were predestined to perform those works that God has for us, the good works as outlined in the Word of God. So, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Have to ask yourself, am I ashamed? Am I afraid to live my faith before men? Do I put all my trust in him or not? And we have to think of it this way. Think of it as like, I'm not ashamed of the Savior. You don't think of it that way. You say, I'm not ashamed of my Savior. You take him. He's your. He is our Savior. He's our personal Savior because of those choices. Our personal choice to accept him and to believe it. So, look at the second point. Is Romans 10:11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Scripture says it, huh? That's the second point. Is don't be ashamed of the Scriptures. And it's going to be the same thing. Let's don't be ashamed of these Scriptures. Let's don't be ashamed of my Scriptures that God has given me. Let's deal with this. Because Think of it. There's always two choices in everything we do. Always two choices. The first point we had, I'm not ashamed of the Savior. It's who do I serve? Who do I serve? Guess what? We're serving somebody. We're either serving our Savior, Lord Jesus, or we're serving Satan. It's who do I serve? I don't want to be ashamed of that. And in the Scriptures, what do I follow? Do I follow the Scriptures? Do I follow Satan? Two choices. Don't be ashamed. Let's follow him. Psalms. Let's turn to Psalms. We're going to quite a few references in Psalms. In Psalms 119, verses 5 and 6. Don't be ashamed of the Scriptures. Psalms 119, 5 and 6. Says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Then I'm not ashamed when I have respect unto all the word of God, all thy commandments. Don't be ashamed of the Scriptures. What am I following? Right here in the same chapter, verse 80, Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. There's David's prayer saying, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Do we have that same prayer? Hey, I want my heart to be sound in your word, that I be not ashamed. there's something to the Word of God. When you have an understanding, you have a confidence about it, like, hey, this is what the Word says. This is not what I'm saying. This is not what I just come up with on my own. The Word says it. Let my heart be sound in the statutes, that I be not ashamed. Very key thing to understand. In John 14:15, the Lord says something about his word. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. You're not ashamed of the word of God? Keep the word, keep the commandments. Christ says it's a condition of love for him. If you love me, keep my commandments. What are you following? Are you following the Word of God? Are you following anything else? Anything outside the Word of God that you're following, you believe, you're living your life by? You're on your own. You're not of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very key thing to understand is not being ashamed. Okay. We have examples of this. Letting our heart be sound in the statutes that we saw in Psalms 119. Let's look at Acts 17:11. The Bereans, they set the example very well for us that we need to follow. They be sound in the statutes. Look what they were doing. Acts 17:11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Ask yourself, do I do that? Do I receive the word with all readiness of mind? And do I search the scriptures daily whether those things were so? Whatever you hear, whatever you've been taught by anybody from here, radio, wherever, search the scriptures, whether those things were so. Prove it out. Show that you love the Lord. Show that you want to be sound. You want your heart to be sound in the statutes. Am I doing that? What am I following? Final reference. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Charles has told us several times one of the most important verses in the Bible for us today. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. What did the Thessalonians do? What did Paul say about the Thessalonians here? 1 Thess 2:13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They received the word of God, just like the Bereans did. They received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. They heard Paul speaking. They accepted what he spoke as the word of God. And they believe it. And it effectually works. Just like today. What the two requirements? Personal choice, personal decision, and true belief. You believe the word, it can be effectual in you. It can make your heart be sound, where you will not be ashamed. What are you following? Not following the word of men, but following the word of God. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Third point on the outline is the service. It's like the Word of God lays out a lot of things. Lays out a lot of things. And they're called good works. They're called, hey, commands. Just like Paul commanded, be not ashamed as a testimony the Lord or me of his prisoner. Don't be ashamed. Those are commands. Those are things that we should be doing. That's part of our service. In our service, that we do? Two options, two choices. We're either serving God or we're serving Satan. Pretty cut and dry when you follow the Word of God. Let's look at what Joshua said. That's one of my favorite passages, is what he said on choosing the day. Joshua 24:14-15. Very relevant for us today. Joshua 24:14-15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Don't fear man. Don't fear the world. Fear the Lord. And serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Be truth in sincerity in your heart and the truth, the Word of God. And serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Don't serve all the stuff of the world. Put away the stuff of the world. That's what He's telling them there. Those things outside of God, put them away. Serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, does it seem evil today to serve the Lord? Have we been told that? Like, you're crazy, you're nuts, whatever? Yeah, that's, we get accused of that, don't we? To choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, and whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua wasn't ashamed of what he was going to, who he was going to serve, was he? We shouldn't be either. We have to make that choice, that personal decision. Personal decision and that true belief, like, hey, I am going to serve the Lord. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can we make that statement today? Can we stand on that? Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1-5 here, and see this a little more on this about justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. A soldier stands and is not ashamed. Are we standing? Am I standing? Wherein we stand and rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God, that future glory, that hope that God has promised. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That hope maketh not ashamed. We know where we are going to spend eternity. We know what God has waiting for us. We're not ashamed. We're not afraid of that. The hope maketh not ashamed. Does that give you a lot of encouragement? A lot of extra, that extra oomph that you need? Say, hey, I know the hope. I know what awaits. There is the key to understanding, not being ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. Very key thing to see that, in that all things we're going through, no matter how crazy it gets, this world's crazy, we're going to go through trials and tribulations, I have the hope of glory. Because it awaits. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to look at 8 through 10. This is basically the comparison verses Romans 10:9-11. We're going to see how salvation here is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, mouth confession, heart belief. That's your salvation. It's what we do to accept the Lord. You know what's crazy about that? A lot of people haven't heard that in today's society. It's a free gift. Mouth confession, heart belief. Don't ever assume that people have heard that message, because many haven't. When the door's open, you speak it. You're not ashamed. of our Savior and what the Scriptures say. So it's a free gift. It's not of works that any man should boast, but verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him." Romans 10:11 says, "For the Scripture said, Whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed." Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Should walk in them. Unashamed. We should do that. And if you're doing that, you're showing God you're not ashamed. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have the truth of the Word to guide us. We know what they are. Those good works. We're going to look at a couple of them later on. But we know what they are. If I'm walking in them, I'm not ashamed of what God wants me to do, would have me to do in His service. Remember, I'm serving someone. I'm serving God, or I'm not. Who are we serving? Take the free gift and get into the good works that God wants us to do without any shame. Why is that? Why should we not be ashamed of the good works He wants us to do? Because we're going to be judged. Our service is going to be judged. Our service is going to be judged. We'll look at real quick at 2 Corinthians 5:10. The works that we do are going to be judged. Not our salvation. Our salvation is a done deal. We're sealed the day of redemption. But our works are going to be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." This is why you don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be ashamed of your service. Right here, this is it. You do not want to be ashamed for your service, because they're going to be judged. And guess what this says here? We're going to receive for what we have done, good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15 lines it out real good as well. We are going to receive. We're either going to receive reward or suffer loss for the service that we have done. As Charles mentioned several times in preaching, like, we are saved to serve, not saved to sit. Let's not be ashamed. Let's not be ashamed of our service, because we are serving someone, either God or Satan. Let's look at another reference along these lines of Colossians 3:23. Through 25, it says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men." Hey, in my service, in my job, whatever I'm doing, in my service, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I'm not doing this for men's sake. I'm doing it for the Lord. In verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." You could be the President of the United States, the King of any country. You're no different than a janitor or anybody else. There is no respect of persons in the sight of God in the service that we are supposed to be doing for Him. Help us to stand as a soldier and serve Him and not be ashamed. Now we go to one of our favorite verses here in the church, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God." What do we study? What are we studying? We're studying the Word of God. Oh, I'm not supposed to be ashamed of the Scriptures, right? So I need to be studying. A workman that need not to be ashamed. I'm supposed to not be ashamed of my service. I'm supposed to be into good works, because my service is going to get judged. Then rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not supposed to be ashamed of those scriptures. I'm supposed to understand the context. I'm supposed to be able to rightly divide it. I'm commanded to rightly divide it because guess what? There is a wrong way to divide it. That's what church is for, to help us to understand that. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We see, for the scripture saith, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. We definitely don't want to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, because our works are going to get judged. We don't want to be ashamed now. We don't want to be telling people wrong, false doctrine, whatever, leading people the wrong way. We don't want to be ashamed in our service now and at the judgment seat of Christ. Once again, it's our choice, and then we believe what the Word says. Let's close this point out in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, among these good works. Where do we get these good works? How do we know what we should be doing? This is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. If I truly care about my service to the Lord, I should be truly furnished from the Word of God. He gives doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness to guide our life now, our service now. That's what it's for. Truly furnished unto all good works, so that we're not ashamed now and at the judgment seat. I'm doing something. We're all doing something. We're all serving something. Let us not be ashamed to be serving the Lord now, so we are not ashamed later at judgment seat. Final point. And not being ashamed is concerning our speech. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. We just talked about getting the word of God to understand the good works. We're going to see a little bit of that here. One of the good works is our speech. Let's turn to Psalms 119. A lot of good stuff about not being ashamed in Psalms, isn't there? Psalms 119. And then we're looking at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Whoa. Think about that. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. David here said, hey, I'm not afraid to speak the word of God in front of kings, and will not be ashamed when I do it. But he's also got, we think, wow, that's a big undertaking. Before a king, yeah, we should be equipped to do that. We should know the word of God and be equipped to do that. But there's one word in here that says also before kings. That word also means he's speaking in front of everybody else, too. Am I speaking in front of everybody else? You know, am I ashamed of what I'm speaking? I should not be. Guess what? When we speak, we're speaking for God and we're speaking for Satan. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God in all things is a sword. It is not a blender. It's one way or the other when we're speaking. We make sure that we're speaking the truth. We should be able to speak before kings and not be ashamed, but also we should be able to speak before anyone. That is a cool thing to think of. Let's look at another example. One of my favorite examples is Acts 4, of two guys that spoke and weren't ashamed. Acts 4:18-20. We got Peter and John there, Acts 4. They've been called in. They've been called in on the carpet. It's like, hey, these guys, the Jews didn't want to speak in this, and And this is speaking the truth about the Lord. And they said in verse 18, it said, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Huh, where have we been told that before today? Hey, you better not bring up the Word of God. You better not say the name of Jesus. You better not. You ever heard that today? Yeah. That is not politically correct. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Hey, you choose your choice, you know, whether you think it's right or not. Verse 20 says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Things which we have seen and heard. Seen what the Lord can do for us. Know what the Lord can do for us in our salvation, and we've heard the Word of God. Do we have that same attitude? Are we ashamed or not of what we're speaking? They were not intimidated by the bullies of that day. Am I intimidated of the bullies of today that say we cannot speak of the name of Jesus? We shouldn't be. Because the Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. Whoa. Now, we think, oh my goodness, I can't speak. I don't know the Word of God. I don't know all the right words and terms to say. Well, did Paul? No, Paul didn't either. Let's see what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Charles referenced this in a prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is Paul, what he spoke and what his speech consisted of. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Excellency of speech? No way. That's not me. It's what Paul's saying. In verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified. What I mentioned before, the gospel message, don't assume anybody's heard it. Don't assume anybody understands it. Know Christ and Him crucified first. When you're dealing with anybody, when you're speaking to anybody. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's kind of like me up here. Weakness, fear, and trembling. You know, this is an awesome responsibility to speak the Word, and it is for any of us as we're in front of anybody. Hey, but he was speaking it, not an excellent speech. It says, in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, did He? Power, love, and sound mind. He will help us speak. We shall not be ashamed. We should know, we should speak first and foremost to anyone we come in contact with, Christ and Him crucified. We get past that, know their self, we know they've made that personal choice, and they believe it. Now we can start talking about this other stuff we're going through here, not being ashamed, our scriptures, our service, and our speech. Christ and Him crucified, very important. 2 Corinthians 2:17, another way to speak. It's always in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. When you're speaking the Word, don't corrupt it. It says, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. What Joshua say, in sincerity and truth, Word of God, right here. Paul's saying, as sincerity, as God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. To be not ashamed of our speech, speak in Christ. Speak in His Word. Speak the truth of His Word. Ephesians 4:15 tells us that. Speaking the truth in love. Grow up in Him. Let's turn to that. Ephesians 4:15. One of our responsibilities. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. we speak in Christ, we're speaking the truth in love. Guess what? We're doing that. We're doing a good work. How do I know that? Well, I'm going to show you. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. From the Titus chapter 2. Verse 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. All these things that follow are a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We're talking about being ashamed today, right? We're looking in this verse, who's going to be ashamed? If you're speaking the truth, the person that's the contrary part, not in God's will, not in God's plan, not of God, the contrary part may be ashamed. You're speaking the truth, because they have no evil thing to say of you. Back to that confidence and understanding the Word. When the Word says it, it's our choice. It's our choice to believe it. Not be ashamed of what we're speaking. The contrary part may be ashamed, not us. I see another example of that in Peter's writing. 1 Peter 3. Ready with an answer. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Those that are falsely accusing may be ashamed. That contrary part, just like what Paul stated. But very key, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's our choice. Do we believe it? And be ready. Sometimes, always, it says, not sometimes, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What's the hope? It's that hope of glory that makes us not ashamed. Having a good conscience. Conscience is clear, you're not ashamed. The contrary part, the not of God, shall be ashamed when you answer with the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to close it out with two more references, but you see that in all these four things: my Savior, my Scriptures, the service I have for God, and the speech I have for God. It's our choice whether we want to do it, whether we truly believe it. Just like in salvation, it's our choice, personal decision to do it, and to truly believe it. It comes from the Word of God. It's infallible, it's inerrant, it's the Word of God. Do we believe it as the Word of God? Just as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, do we receive it as the Word of God, as it is in truth? This is not the Word of men, this is the Word of God. Let's not be ashamed of anything that's in it and what we're supposed to be doing. Stand up as a good soldier. Not be afraid. Put on this whole armor. And let's do this. Because that's what we're called to do. We're going to close out with two closing verses to really look at this and wrap this up. One is what Jesus says in Mark. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, 38. Mark 8:38 says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," is that speaking of us? It sounds like it, doesn't it? "This adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. When the Lord comes back with his holy angels, now this is the context of the nation of Israel, but it's very key to us to understand, like, hey, we shouldn't be ashamed either. He's talking to the nation of Israel, the inspiration, he's talking to us, as outlined today, like, hey, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. We need to not be ashamed of anything we're doing. Don't be ashamed now, because he'll be ashamed of us later. The final closing out verse, Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Paul's talking to the Philippians. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That wraps up not being ashamed right there. Paul was not ashamed in anything, and nothing I shall be ashamed, because of that hope I have, that hope of glory that we all should have, we all have, if we're a believer in Christ, and if we're not ashamed. That with all boldness, with all boldness, that means he's living and he's speaking. His service and his speech, with all boldness. As always, so now also in Christ shall be magnified in my body. Everything I do, be magnified in my body for Christ, and not be ashamed, whether it be by life or by death. When the bullies come along and say, hey, you can't do that, I was like, the word says I need to be doing it, so I'm going to do it. That may take your life out. Amen. You get to go be with God. What are you afraid of? Whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm living as Christ, I'm dying of gain. I'm going to be with him. That is an understanding that gives you confidence to fulfill the verse, Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day, these words of truth you've given us today, and it's so fitting and applicable for us today. Let us not be ashamed in anything concerning you, concerning your word, concerning our service, and concerning our speech. Let us not be ashamed. Let's make the personal choice to do it, and let's believe it from your word, what we should be doing. Lord, help us to take these words, walk out of here and live by them till we're called out of here to see you. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.